Last night we started out on our journey, didn't we, with getting to know God. And for a lot of us, it's just a lot of reminders, but important reminders, because life gets busy, life gets crazy, and priorities of life can fall by the wayside with the urgency of life. Have you ever read that little booklet, The Tyranny of the Urgent? I forget the... Oh, ladies, you got to read that. The Tyranny of the Urgent. I wish... It's small. It's very small. And I don't remember the author. I don't think it's Oswald Chambers. I don't remember. But look up The Tyranny of the Urgent. It is thoughts that will arrest your thoughts about... how we let the urgent things in life steal from us the important things of life. So if you can find it, get online, get an ebook, whatever. You can find it out there somewhere. Okay, so today, last night it was knowing God, a life prepared. Are you preparing for eternity, ladies? Are you prepared, and are you continuing to prepare through your worship? And then today, this morning, we're going to look at experiencing God, a life lived. And as we said last night, life is all about experiences, isn't it? I remember one time I was watching TV and a commercial came on, and they were promoting a movie that was going to come on some ladies' women's channel. I don't know. I didn't watch the movie. I just remember the commercial. It was so arresting because they were telling you about, it was a true life story about some ladies, some girl's life, ladies' life. And then all of a sudden, the person, the lady that it was depicting her life came on, and she looked straight at the camera. You know, you don't see that on TV. They don't look. She was talking to the audience. She looked straight at the camera and she said, "This is my story." And when she did that, I thought, wow, this is real. This is my story. Ladies, you have a story. You're writing, or God's writing that story in your life right now. Our time here is part of your story. It's part of my story. And it's a fun part. You know, the fun camaraderie that we can have as, you know, sisters in Christ, or loved ones that have come to meet, even if you don't know Christ, the love we can have with one another as we make our journeys together through life. It's our story. And that's what experiencing God is all about. Is realizing that he is the author of our stories. He's the author. We're the players. You know, we'll talk about later, maybe the next section, how it's like he is the marionette master above the curtain. Nobody can see him. They only see the marionettes on the strings down here. And that marionette master is making those puppets do everything. Lift the arm, lift the leg, walk, go, act like they're talking, you know, whatever, that marionette. Just moving them around. And that's what life is like. It's not about us, it's about God. Your personal experiences equal your story, your journal. Well, I told you yesterday, my husband and I have hiked into the canyon 4 times. Well, on our very first trip of hiking into the canyon, I'll never forget all the experiences. We had so many experiences. One thing, it was the sheer cost of the equipment. Not only did you have to pay to hike into the canyon, you had to buy all the equipment to hike into the canyon, like a tent. Gotta have a tent, you know. Couldn't be a huge tent, but it... You know, they make tents so lightweight these days. It's a good thing. The bed rolls, you know. Not only did you have like a, what do you call those? A sleeping bag. You needed a little like cot, not a cot, but a pad that would blow up on its own. You had to, you know, just let a lever out and, you know, but you had it. You know, you had to have that. You had to have all your food. Freeze-dried food. That's what you took down there, except a few little fresh things. You had to have utensils. You had to have a stove, a burner. They're the cutest things in the world if you have any. I mean, seeing them, they're so cute. And then you had to have your pots to cook it. You had to backpack your water in. You had to back, I mean, and the funny thing, it's not funny, you couldn't get rid of your trash. You had to backpack your trash out. Unless you made it all the way to the bottom of the canyon where they had some trash receptacles. Other than that, you didn't leave trash in the canyon. Oh, no, 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 no. If anybody found that out, you're in trouble. You know, I mean, just the sheer cost, the sheer planning was unreal. Another thing, experience of learning about hiking into the canyon. You had to exercise. I kept thinking, I am not getting down in the bottom of that canyon and can't get back out. I mean, it was like $2,000 back then for a helicopter to lift you out if you couldn't get back out. So I had to be sure I could get out of that canyon once I got in it. Oh, yeah. So every day, ladies, well, I did it every other day. I would do an aerobic exercise. That would, I hate exercise. I hate it. My husband loves exercise. He's a runner. But I hate exercise. But I was doing every other day aerobic exercise. And then in the days in between, my boys and I would go. We had a mountain right behind our house. We would go and we would hike part the way up that mountain. So I'm trying to get every muscle I'm going to use prepared for this journey. To go down in and to come back out. That was an experience in itself. One time we were hiking up that mountain and all of a sudden I screamed, "Snake!" And man, the boys, they turned around as fast as I did. We just were running back down that mountain. I mean, we ran. Now, I didn't have time to count the stripes on that, or to look at the stripes on that. Is it yellow, red, and black? Or is it black, yellow, and red? I didn't, you know, is it a king snake or is it a coral? I don't know. I don't care. I'm getting out of here. It's a snake. That was another big, huge experience I remember having. But fun. All of it was fun. So this journey of going in the canyon had all kind, and I'm not even going to tell you all the experience. Oh, one experience down in the canyon I'll never forget. Across the Colorado River that's down the canyon is a swinging bridge. And I had to go across that swinging bridge. You know, and you're walking. You know, and it's swinging on you. The water's rushing down under you. You can see straight through. Not fun for me. I hate heights anyway. But lots of experience. You know, life is full of experiences. And as I've said, all of our experiences in life have God at the center. Excuse me. They have God at the center of it because He's the one in charge of all of our life. Put that there. Take all the stories of the Bible. Think about it. All the stories we have in the Bible, they are not there just to fill in and let us know about people's lives. That's not why the stories are in the Bible. They're there because they're part of one big story. Did you know you can find Jesus Christ in every story in the Bible? Every book of the Bible? They're all about Him. They're all about the gospel. It's the gospel story. That's the one big story in the Bible. You know, why did these things happen to Abraham? Why did these things happen to Moses? Why did all the, you know, the children of Israel, the wandering in the wilderness, Paul's adventures, Peter, why did all these happen? For one thing, to point to Jesus and what He did for the world when He gave His life that day. So life for every one of us has one central figure, and that's God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who He is. And if you know Him as your Savior, then life has a meaning and a purpose. If you don't know Him as your Savior, if you haven't taken that first step of the journey of getting to know God, then ladies, there's a plea for you to do that. because life will begin to take meaning. You'll know why you're here. Now, does that mean you're not have problems? Oh, no, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. You will. You're not exempt from them. But God is at the center. He's at the center of your life anyway. Wouldn't it be great if you just acknowledge it and turn to Him and let Him be your Savior and your Lord? Wouldn't that be wonderful? It is. It's a great, great journey with Him. Without Jesus as a central figure and His redemption plan as the reason for life, all of the stories of the Bible, really, ladies, think about it, would be relegated to mere Aesop's fables. This is the moral of the story, you know. That's not what the Bible's about. That's not what life is about, finding a moral in life. No, life is about Christ. So God's word is not just a bunch of fairy tales. It's truth that points to one central figure, the person that you need in your life more than anybody else. Experiencing life with Jesus is the journey of a lifetime. It really is. So as we start on our experiencing life, a life lived, first of all, A there, the journey of our Christian life has the dynamite resource of Christ's resurrection power to help us live victorious. There in Philippians 3:10 it says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. That resurrection power there is there for us to live victorious in our life. Paul wanted to know God by experiencing His resurrection power. In Ephesians 1:15-23, it tells us there that He gives to all who believe in Him His resurrection power. Do you know that is the most extensive form, or the greatest picture of God's power is His resurrection power, coming back from the dead. We can't do that. None of us can do that. You can't, when someone dies, you can't pray for them to come back from the dead. It's not going to happen. You can believe it all you want, but it's not going to happen. Jesus, by His own power, came back from the dead. And that same power He gives to all of those who believe. You have that power within you, the dynamite action of that power to help you live victoriously. And I do too. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. It's a wonderful truth, the resurrection power. Christ's resurrection power affords us as believers to have power over sin. That's number one there. We have power. The dynamite resurrection power of Christ that brought Him from the dead belongs to us, is within us, to not sin. Wow. We have what we need inside of us to overcome sin, to overcome the power of sin in our life. But we do not access it so often. By spiritual identification with Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all believing sinners are crucified, buried, and risen together with Christ. That is our inheritance. We have His resurrection power. Romans 6:3-10. Why don't you turn there? Romans 6:3-10. I just want to read this for you and let you see this power that Christ gives us. Romans 6:3-10 says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? In other words, those of us who have accepted Christ as our Savior died with Him. The day we accepted Him as our Savior, we died with Him. We died to our old nature, sin in our life, okay? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Wow. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. You see, ladies, this is proof of it right here. Because you died with Christ and accepting what his death on the cross of Calvary for the remission of your sins, because you died with him, you get the power of resurrection. When he raised himself from the grave, you have that same power. Not to raise yourself from the grave, not to come alive again, but you have the force of that power to help you live like a new man, not like the old man. That's what we have inside of us. Problem is, like I said, we just don't access it. We give in to our emotions. We give in to our feelings. You know, when I get upset, if I let something that my husband does it upset me, it's because I'm giving in. I'm giving in to my old nature. I don't have to. I have the power to not do that. You know, and I think, I can remember years ago, if I ever got upset about anything, sometimes he would look at me and say, "Is it that time of the month?" That would make me so mad. I would say, "Don't blame it on that." That's my old man. That's my old man coming out. It's not me. You did. You said that. You know, I would get that way at times. You know, and all he did was honestly caring for me. Lynn, okay, do you need to go rest? Is it that? Don't blame it on that. You know, and of course, it was that, you know, big part of it. But that's my old man. I don't have to say yes to that. I have the power within me to say no. I have to access that power, though, by my will, by my choices that I make, and telling my feelings to take a hike most of the time. Because feelings get us into trouble all the time. We think feelings are real. They're not. They're just, feelings are wonderful. They're tools that we have to color life and make emotions, make life exciting. But it also trips us up as women. We have a choice to make. It goes on in verse 11 there in Romans chapter 6, it says, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive through God, unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." It says that we're to reckon ourselves to be dead to sin. What does that mean? Basically, it means claim the victory. It's already yours. Claim it. Reckon yourself. And how do you claim the victory with something that's going on and you don't want to lose your temper? You don't want to snap at the kids. You don't want to be deceitful. You don't want to manipulate a situation. How can you reckon this, you know, claim the victory? You do it by faith. That's the only way you can do it. The Bible says, I don't have to do that. So by faith, I choose not to. I choose to stop myself. When that emotion arises in you, and the Holy Spirit gives you a nudge, you have that little, you know, thought, probably shouldn't do that, I probably shouldn't go there. Something happened the other day, and I was about to tell my husband about it, and something inside of me said, you don't need to share that. You don't need to share that, even with your husband. Now, I could have ignored the Holy Spirit saying, don't share that. It's not important. That may be gossip. That was it. It would have, you know, it wasn't a bad thing. But it was, even though something's true, you don't have to share it. And the Holy Spirit nudged me on that. And I had a choice to make. I thought, oh, my husband would like to know that. But I had a choice to make. Am I going to share it? Or am I going to reckon myself dead that I can choose to do right? And praise the Lord, one time I decided the right thing. But listen for the Holy Spirit that's there. He's there. He'll help you. He'll tell you. Just listen. Feel the nudge from the Spirit of God. keep your, you know, to say something, to not say something. Just because you know something doesn't mean you have to share it. That's just one avenue of it. But claim the victory. You do it by faith. Christ said, I don't have to sin. I have his resurrection power. Claim it by faith. To live in the power of Christ's resurrection is to become more and more dead to the ways of this world and the lust of the flesh. It involves becoming more like Christ. You know, when I was typing that particular sentence up, to live in the power of Christ's resurrection is to become more and more dead. The computer spell check kept wanting me to change that to deader instead of more and more dead. It wanted me to change it to deader. And I said, no, it's a journey. More and more dead, not just deader. You know, you understand what I'm saying there? It's like, this is a journey. Because you're not going to get it right every time. And you may get it right one time and then fall again. But to live in the resurrection power of Christ is to become more and more dead. You're cutting off those ties that tether you down to this earth. Now, you may strap it back on at one point, but you cut it off again. You can do it. How? Claim the victory. It's already yours. You do it by faith. God said it, so it's true. And you act upon that. So we have power over sin. Number two, as believers, we have power to live in obedience. Absolute obedience to God's will is as essential to knowing his power. Mattoon's Treasures, I got that from a commentary. I thought it was a great statement. Absolute obedience to God's will is essential to knowing his power. All the resources of God's resurrection power are at our disposal to live in obedience. Not only to say no to sin, but to say yes to God's word and what he wants from us. As it says there in Romans 6, 4, and 5, it says, therefore, walk in newness of life. Do it. You have the power to do right, to live in obedience, to obey God's word. Do it because Christ was raised from the dead, we have new life. He had life, resurrected life, and because he did, he gave it to us, to all who believe. So walk that way. Walk, it's a choice. It always comes down to choices, ladies, always. A person can live her new life with the same supernatural power that brought Jesus out of the grave. As believers, we also have the power to proclaim the gospel. We have the power. As promised on the day of Pentecost there in Acts, the Holy Spirit power was given to all who believed, and they became his witnesses, his proclaimers. Christ's resurrection power enables us to boldly and fruitfully proclaim the gospel with enthusiasm. This is one of the hardest things for us to do so often. We get timid. Sometimes we want to hide the light because we're think, what will people think about us? Oh, the resurrection power affords you the power to proclaim the gospel. You remember the two disciples on the Emmaus Road? They were despondent and discouraged. You know, a couple of days earlier, 3 days earlier, Jesus, their promised Messiah, they thought was crucified. Oh, they'd heard some rumblings that he had, you know, arisen from the dead, but they didn't know it for sure. They didn't have any proof. They were just discouraged. They were going back home from Jerusalem, and a stranger started walking with them. And he acted like he didn't, you know, he asked him, why are you so discouraged? What's going on? You know, he acted like he didn't know what was going on because it was Christ, the resurrected Christ. And they said, man, basically, where have you been? Don't you know what happened? You know, and then this stranger started saying, well, this is what the prophets prophesied would happen, would have to happen. You know, that the Messiah would come and he would die. But he would raise again the third day. And as they were talking, the stranger acted like he was going to go a different way. And they said, no, come home with us, come home with us. They were loving. He opened up the scriptures, it says there in Luke 24, to them. And they wanted to hear more. So they went to their home and The stranger sat there, he blessed the bread, and he broke it, and then vanished out of their sight. And they said, oh, you know who that was? That was Jesus. He is alive. They were so excited. They said, did not our hearts burn within us when he talked with us, by the way, and he opened to us the scriptures? Didn't our hearts burn? That enthusiasm was there. That resurrection power was brewing in their own life. And you know what they did? They turned and went the 7 to 8 miles back to Jerusalem. I mean, they went there running. And they burst into the room where the other disciples were. And they said, he's alive. We've seen him. We just talked to him. And they said, we know. He showed up here too. And they were so excited. They were rejoicing. And the whole book of Acts, they're out scattering, witnessing, telling who Jesus is. There was a new enthusiasm in their life. All the despondency was gone. He's alive. He's alive. Ladies, we just celebrated Easter. I think that may be one of my favorite, maybe my favorite season of the year. Just to worship the Lord and sing the songs with fellow believers in Christ, that he's alive. The power that brought him out of the grave is in me to live in obedience, to have power over sin, and to witness for him. This is our job as believers. We're to boldly and joyfully proclaim all that we've experienced through faith as a result of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Bible commentary said, witnessing is not something we do for the Lord. It is something he does through us if we're filled with his Holy Spirit. If we let the Holy Spirit that lives within us have control. So God gives us power over sin, power to live in obedience, and power to proclaim the gospel through his resurrection power. I don't have a lot of time left, but the second part of this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. It's part of life, isn't it? Suffering. This was Paul's desire. He said, I want to know that dynamite power that is mine. Knowing God through experiencing his power working in my life. But I also want to know him through the hardship, the suffering, the things that are going on in my life. How can God be real to me? I can know him through suffering. Paul knew that. He understood about the suffering of Christ. He understood the cruelty he suffered. Christ suffered the mockery, the lies that were given about Christ. Have you ever been lied about? I think that's one of the hardest things you ever face, is when someone lies about you. And you know it's not true. And I don't have time, but we can go into all kind of modes at that point and take things in our own hands. Paul understood how Christ was forsaken by his friends. Things like that happened to Paul, too, after he became a Christian. You know, as Morris and I began our fourth time to hike into the canyon, there was something that happened that we weren't prepared for. I couldn't prepare for that. It happened to me, an accident. We were probably maybe a mile in to the canyon. We were going 5 miles down that day into the bottom. On the Kaibab Trail, I remember. We were going down in there. And we were just walking along, talking. You know, I got 30 pounds backpacked on my back, you know, and he's got like 35 to 40. And but, you know, the way they engineer those backpacks, it's not bad. You know, your hips do all the work. Take all the brunt of the heaviness of the weight, not your back. But it was great. But my foot stepped on a rock. And it looked like just a small rock. Smooth, but it was a lot bigger if you dug the dirt up around it. And my hiking boot just slid off of that rock and twisted my ankle. And I had an excruciating pain moment. And I screamed and fell. I remember calling my husband's name out. Morris, you know, he was a little ahead of me. We had like about 12 people in our entourage going into the canyon. You know, this 12 dozen people going in, and we were the tail end. We decided we would, you know, we were part of one of the host families, so we thought we'll take the back part. So it was just the two of us, and there was a pastor and one of his sons right in front of us. But anyway, we were going. My foot slipped off. It twisted. I fell, and oh, it was painful, and I fainted. And I've often thought, why did I faint? Why did I black out like that? Maybe the altitude, you know, canyon up there, 9,000 foot elevation. That's part of it. I think the pain must have been part of it too. I did fall on my side. I didn't hit my head, but man, I wasn't prepared for that. I blacked out. Of course, my husband freaked out at that point. He was like, what? You know, he came running back to me and everything. And I hurt my ankle bad. It wasn't broken, praise the Lord. And I didn't take my boot off, which was a blessing for me to not take that boot off. If I'd taken that boot off, my foot would have swollen huge, and I wouldn't have gotten that boot back on. I would have had to, somebody would have had to carry me up the mountain again for a mile. But I didn't take it off. But when I got down to the bottom of the canyon four and a half miles later, I got down. We set our tent up and everything, I did take my boot off. It was black and blue already, you know, and everything. So I don't remember. We may have put water in. Yeah, probably put water in the Colorado just to get it a little colder and put it on my ankle and all. And man, I had two more days to hike that canyon. And remember, I wasn't going to pay $2,000 to lift it out of that canyon. I mean, this was like a problem. And not only did I have two more days down in the canyon, I had to hike back out of the canyon. And it's like, whoa, and I made it, ladies. I'm here to tell you, I made it. I had Fred Morris took part of my backpack weight off. Another one of the teenage girls that went with us, older teenage girl, she said, Mrs. Gleiser, let me take this, let me. She was so sweet and so kind. I hobbled out of there, and you know what? I beat some of the men. I did. I was proud of myself. I beat some of those men that were just going. my husband stayed with me until maybe the last mile. And I looked at him, and I said, Morris, I know you're dying. Go on. I'm fine. I'll hobble on out of here. You go on and get up there. Bless his heart, for 3 days, he hadn't had a Diet Dr. Pepper. He was hilarious. He went scooting out of that canyon, went up there, and as I was coming around that last switchback, he was standing at the top with that can of pop. Lynn, I got it, you know. And I said, and I'm beating a bunch of people out of here. It was fun, but I wasn't prepared for that. And I had a bad ankle for months to come. It took a long time for that ankle to heal. I mean, a long time. But I wasn't prepared. You know, life is full of unprepared trials, unprepared sufferings. And we know that. But when they hit us, they tend to knock us off our feet. Literally, they tend to do that in so many areas. But it's the same with our spiritual journey through life. Suffering is not foreign to the Christian who lives her life for Christ. In fact, ladies, suffering is an unwelcomed friend. It's really true. Suffering is an unwelcomed friend. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps." Because of our salvation, ladies, we are called to suffer. Fellowship, when it says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, fellowship means to share in common. That's what it means. Paul's saying, I want to know Christ by sharing in common with him his suffering. And that suffering is often talking about the crucifixion. You know, the Garden of Gethsemane suffering and the crucifixion that Christ suffered. It's talking about that suffering. Just as Christ suffered, we're to share in common with him. It's a camaraderie. In other words, we are together in this. We're together in this, God and I. It's a bonding. But then not only is it a camaraderie, there's an intimacy there. The people that you suffer with, that are suffering the same as you are, there's a bond, a deep understanding bond that cannot be broken. If you and your husband ever go through any suffering, unless you resist what Christ is doing, it usually bonds you deeper. If you and a friend go through some type of hardship, suffering, it will bond you. It's the deepest level of knowing. That's what suffering is. It's the deepest level of. So when Paul said that I may know him, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, he said, I want the deepest level of knowing Christ. I want to share in his suffering with him. As Christians, we often suffer for Christ's name's sake because we're Christians. Look at all over the world. Christians are suffering everywhere. Over in the Middle East, there is awful suffering going on for Christians. Awful beheadings, you know, just the murders. It's terrible. We haven't had that yet in the United States, but it's coming. It's coming. Suffering. And we may suffer in the workplace because people don't understand us. We may suffer by, you know, being told you can't do this. You know, you're a Christian, so there are things taken away from you or whatever. And those are hard. But that deepest level of knowing, that suffering, as Christ suffered on the cross. We suffer unfairly. We're persecuted. And we suffer for righteousness' sake, not only by the world, ladies, but often we suffer for righteousness' sake by fellow Christians. They don't understand. Why do you live this way? Why do you do this? And it goes both ways. Those that have very strong convictions and strong ways of following Christ, they think this is what Christ has led them to do, they can understand why another Christian chooses other things, and vice versa. Why these people can't understand why this person thinks that's wrong. You know, that's a delicate line. All I can say is, you are your own priest with God, before God. You better know. You follow him and his leading. And being willing to suffer as he suffered, yielding to that suffering. And you'll get to know him because it's a promise from his word. Suffering is truly how we get to know our God. Through suffering, we begin to understand that there is grace for every place we find ourselves. There's grace you're going to need in coming days that you don't need right now. This morning, it was said to me, I couldn't do what you do, you know, traveling around and all you do. I understand that. You know, 5 years before I started doing it, I was thinking the same thing. I could not do that. I could not do that. But God gives grace for every place in our life. There's grace to do what we're supposed to do. Christ's resurrection power is seen clearest in our weakness. His power is portrayed the clearest, the most brilliant in our weakness, in our suffering times. And our sufferings, our weaknesses, is the medium for Christ's likeness to be perfected in our lives. God's purpose is to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. He tells us that in Romans 8:29, and he often uses suffering to do so. However, this is the good news. Accompanying his purpose is his amazing grace and empowerment. God is the great giver of strength when we are without strength. He's there. He's our resource. We have no power from God unless we live in the persuasion that we have none of our own. You say, how is this possible? Christ gives us the example. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. He didn't fight back on the cross. He didn't argue, but he committed himself to his Father and left the outcome with him. Ladies, if you're struggling right now in a time of suffering, I feel your pain. I've been there. I am there right now. There's suffering going on in my heart for different things. The only thing I can say to you with that is go back to the garden and consider his suffering for you, what he did for you. Put your hands, I put it this way, put your hands on the substitute, the one who bore your burden, bore your sin. Put your hands on him. He suffered for you in a way you'll never suffer. He took that punishment from you. Put your hands on him. He's the suffering Christ, and we're to follow in his steps. When you put your hands on the substitute and consider his sufferings, you will find in him a merciful high priest, a faithful friend who feels your pain, a sympathetic companion who faced all the trials and temptations that you face. He is thus uniquely qualified to help you in your weakness and in your infirmities. Hebrews 4:15 and Hebrews 2:17 explains all that. As we continue on our journey of life, we realize that the experiences that God allows in our lives, he allows us to go through, is the vehicle for us to be changed into Christ's likeness. So if we don't chafe at it, if we say, okay, Lord, teach me. I want to know you. And yes, I take the greatness of your power. I reckon it to be true in my life. I can walk in newness of life, but I also realize that part of truly knowing you has to involve suffering. I heard that as a young wife. I was at a ladies' conference. A lady probably my age, in her 60s, early 60s, was standing up there, and she was talking on this subject, and she was talking about some suffering that was in her life at the moment. One thing was her son with some physical things. It was hard. It was very hard. And, you know, my heart was going out. And then she made the statement, but you know, ladies, you'll never know God the way you need to know him without going through suffering. And I sat back there and I thought, now that's not fair. That is just not fair. Why can't I choose to know God? It's because we don't choose it. We don't. We choose the easy path, you know. And it's like, life's going along fine. This is good. I'm good. You know, everybody's doing great. Okay, so I just keep doing what I'm doing. And I don't truly get to know him. Honestly, the only way you can is through going through suffering. It's not easy. But it's his plan, and he'll get you through. I promise he'll get you through whatever you're going through right now. Let's bow our heads. I don't know, ladies, is there something on your heart today? Something that the Lord, you've came maybe with a heaviness because of experiences of life that's going on right now. And you say, Lord, I want to trust you. I want to follow you. I want to know you, Lord, but this is hard. Who would say, please pray for me. I am going through something special in my life right now that has really knocked me off my feet. And I truly do want to get to know the Lord. Pray that I will yield to the Lord and say, Lord, teach me what you need to teach me. Who would say that this morning if you'd raise your hand? Okay. God knows each of those hands. He knows where each of you are, and he cares. He's that high priest that has already gone through it. And the wonderful thing is, he chooses to go through it again and again and again with each of us. Heavenly Father, I pray right now for these ladies that shared by the raising of hand that you are working in their life through suffering right now. I pray, Lord, that you will be with them in a special way, that they will feel your presence, Lord, and that they will realize the power within them, your resurrection power, to do right through that time, to not revile when they've been reviled, to not argue or fight back, to not turn their back on you, Lord, but persevere through and continue trusting you through this trial. Lord, thank you that you're with us and you never leave us or forsake us and you care. Thank you for your word that's our guide. It's our comfort. Lord, it's our cause of excitement, Lord, to go and share with others what you have done for us. Lord, thank you for each of these ladies. Move in their hearts. Make them more like you. In your name I pray. Amen.